Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm Tim Wildman with Abby Tagliano and Ray Pritchard. We thank you for listening. Joining us now, Chris Woodward has left the room, and Steve Paisley Jardall has entered.
Yes, he has. I am here.
How you doing,
Lafayette,
Steve?
I am here. I'm well. I was. I had to take some time out while you were guys were doing your first hour after Jenna got off. I was trying to add up all my unrealized income. And so,
what'd you come up? What's your figure?
$42.16.
Well, expect a call from the IRS.
25% of that, right?
Might have to wait for a couple of years before I retire.
Huh? I know. I think you've got a bunch of those Jerry Garcia ties, which aren't cheap,
and they're rising in value,
and they're right. Growing in value. So
unrealized.
So what you could say is I could hang those unrealized income around my neck.
Yes, be like an albatross.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right, Steve, first story.
All right. let's talk about money, about what could be hiding under the ground in Southern California. So, a report has come out.
Southern California. Okay.
A report has come out. There's a lake which is called the Salton Sea down in Southern California. I've seen this lake, this sea.
You've been there.
I have. Well, you don't stop there. You just drive past because there's really nothing there. But I remember this. We drive past. I was on the west side of the lake going down. We were going down to, I was leading a church youth group to a missions trip to a place called Mexicali. Now, Mexicali is a sister city to a twin city that's right on the other side of the California border called Calexico. Mm-hmm. We got Mexicali.
You been there, Ray?
Calexico.
I'm looking at it on the map right now while you're talking. I can see it.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
So we took some high school kids down to Missions Project in Mexicali, and we drove past the sea. Well, what they're finding is they have discovered that they may be sitting on the biggest lithium reservoir ever in the world.
Underneath this lake?
Yes.
What's the name of the lake?
In it?
The Salton Sea. No, this is in groundwater that is, looking for the cost-effective way they're looking for to extract lithium that is dissolved in scalding hot brine water that flows beneath the lake's southern point. So as you know, groundwater, a lot of stuff happens liquid-wise under the ground, under our feet, we don't even know about. And some of that water is fairly superheated. And in this case, you go down, I don't know how far, but they say that this water is just infused with lithium, 18 million tons of extractable lithium. Each ton is about worth $29,000. So you have about $540 billion worth of lithium down there. Now, lithium, you just think about the pills you take to make you calm. No, lithium is used.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
I need those. But lithium is used in all kinds of electronic batteries mostly. Your cell phone, cars.
Car batteries
and electric EVs. Some are saying this could be the cost, one of the big breaks for the Biden administration to get to zero carbon emissions, to get their EV program going to find this. Because right now, China is producing like 90% of the world's lithium. We have to go to China for it. Well, we're finding it in our backyard.
Yeah, I was looking at an article here from KTLA, which is, I guess, the Los Angeles...
CATLA, that's what I call it.
CATLA, yes.
CATLA.
Yeah.
It's radio and television.
They're saying it's enough lithium, these are the estimates, to build batteries for 375 million electric vehicles.
Yeah.
That's stunning.
And I think the biggest cost barrier to those things is the batteries in the car. Right? That's what the reason they cost so much is you got tons of tons.
There's nothing else. There's basically nothing else, right?
Well, I mean, technology there.
No, what I'm saying is I guess you'd have a transmission and stuff, but there's no engine block.
There's no engine block. What you're paying for is a lot of the batteries, but then, like with Teslas, you got so much technology, you're paying through the nose for a lot of that, and then they make their money. But, yeah, this could have the potential of bringing down the cost of EVs like a lot.
So lithium, like you've described, is a mineral?
It is a, yes, it is a mineral that they sometimes mix.
But it's used to in batteries, yes. You're saying. That's what it's most used for.
Batteries, solar panels.
So does my AAA battery and my flashlight use the lithium?
It does. It most likely does, yes.
Okay.
And the concern has been that China is the primary source for all the world's batteries.
And now we've discovered this.
We're going to corner the lithium market right there under the, you call it the Salton Sea, Steve?
Salton Sea.
S-A-L.
Salton.
Spell it.
S-A-L-T-O-N. Salton. It's not Salton.
Not like the, yeah, no, yeah. Not Salton.
You're saying it's actually lithium that's in the ground underneath.
It's in the water. It's in the water system underneath the south part of the Salton Sea.
So who's Jed Clampett here?
Well, they got four different different groups that are going in looking to mine this stuff. One is Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Energy.
He could catch a break. He needs to.
He does. This would be good for him. He's actually been given about a $15 million grant by the Department of Energy to study this. But on top of that, you have Controlled Thermal Resources and Energy Source. They're also vying to help pull that out of the ground. You want to love about this article? We can give this. This is out of the Daily Mail. The expert that they quote, his name is Jeffrey Maroutian, M-A-R-O-O-T-I-A-N. I would love a job like this. Listen, he must have business cards that are like a foot long. He is the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy.
Wow.
Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary
of some kind.
No.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing. I just wondered if anybody owns that lake, or is that owned by the state of California? Or?
It's not. I don't believe it's private property. I really don't know, though. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some pictures. It doesn't look like much of anything. I don't see any homes anywhere. Now this.
No,
is just
no, no.
It's, where I'm looking.
Let me ask you this question: what if, like, I got like. What, like 2 acres? You think I got lithium on there?
You might have lithium come out under it.
You think that somebody come out and do a test?
I think if you own 2 acres down there, you might have some unrealized income.
I'm talking about 2 acres here in Mississippi.
Oh. You've watched too many episodes of Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, have I?
Taking it. Now, you know, where Jed Clampett was one day out hunting for some food.
Right. And up in the ground came a bubbling crude.
You're going to have to take a shot at something, Tim, if you're going to strike it. Rich and Alex.
Well, I got
the
this
one that does.
I got this lot we bought right next to my house. It's just sitting there, just Bermuda grass. That's all. I'm just thinking, what's underneath that ground?
Big lithium, right?
Yeah, fire a few rounds there and see if anything.
If I'm not mistaken, unless the something in the city or county has eminent domain, you own that property down at the core of the earth.
You do.
It's unrealized income.
It might be. It might be. Absolutely.
What are you telling me? I own what now?
You own the acre on top of the ground, and then you can drill down to the core of the earth. I believe you own everything.
Yeah, if there's oil, for example.
Yeah, but the neighbors start talking, and it's against. I was reading the our neighborhood rules. What do you call those? Homeowners?
HOA.
Homeowners, yeah.
Yeah, and they got a rule against drilling to the center of the earth. Yeah. It's like number 5A.
Yeah.
You got to read down there.
Yeah. It's in the small print.
It's strictly forbidden. So that's why I'm talking
sorry,
about.
Sorry, Mr. Wildman, right. But you know the rules.
Right.
No drilling down to right. The center of the earth.
You can't have a brown house and you can't have lava in your backyard.
Right.
Two things.
Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, who hasn't dreamt of kicking over a rock and finding something of value?
Oil or something.
Oil, gold, lithium. Now lithium.
Or lithium, right.
Now, anytime I go in my yard and kick over a rock, there's usually a mole under there.
Right, or a snake.
Destroying.
Yes.
Destroying my property.
One day our ship will come in.
Greenpeace is going to be calling you in a minute.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Next door, Steve.
All right. Are you worried about the end of the world? Are you worried about the 2024 elections? What
it's
might happen in this
country? It's the end of the world as you know it. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that out loud?
What is that, the birds?
No, I think that's REM. The end of the world as you know it.
80s rock.
And I feel fine.
I feel fine.
Anyway, we're finding out that according to a Finder survey, now Finder is a group that apparently tracks.
Not Pfizer. They've done enough surveying.
Believe me.
Okay.
They've got some unrealized income.
Okay. Bada boom.
But Finder, I guess it tracks preppers, people that buy a bunch of food and stuff and put it in their garage so that they have it just in case, you know, the world
prepper
up.
Is. Got family members.
Yeah.
Ed does too. We're not going to name names.
As I do.
I wasn't saying it for your necessarily your benefit.
And it ain't Ed and me. Somebody else.
We'll know where to go.
We're too far along in life.
We'll know where to go when the world comes.
The end of the world comes.
According to this Finder survey, 40% of Gen Zs, that's people born after 1997, say they have spent money on doomsday supplies, water, canned food, anything that's going to last a while.
Buckets of rice, buckets of beans.
Yeah, stuff that's going to go. And overall, they say that generally about 25% of the country, generally, all ages are doing this.
Now, what is this? What is this age category?
This is 97 and younger.
You're talking late teens and
Gen Z.
Oh, born in 97.
Yes. Yeah. Born after
1997. They're not 97 years old.
No, they're young. These are youngsters.
This is Gen Z.
Okay, so I say, you're 97 and you're prepping. Something's wrong. you need to refocus
your priorities.
You're not going to
make it to the world.
Yeah. You're almost 30 years old.
Are you a prepper, Ray?
Look, I'm all in favor of food, and when trouble comes, you want to make sure when the trouble comes, you have enough toilet paper, okay? I read that article that's stocking up toilet. That's just practical, friend. That and peanut butter, you're going
to
need it.
Well, this is the way I look at it, in not to disparage my family, some of my family members who are sure enough preppers, is I want to have enough for 2 or 3 weeks if – something happens, there's, you know, no power, you know, no
but a
water.
Black, a black swan event, you're going over to his house.
Well, and even that, I've had these discussions with members of my church back when I was pastoring. So if I prepare for 5 years of, you know, no access to Walmart or Sam's Club, what am I going to do when my neighbors come knocking on the door? Am I going to use, you know, part of my 600,000 rounds of ammunition to start shooting at my neighbor,
right? And say, get away! That's not loving your neighbor.
Get away from my blast door.
Well, listen, so what you're saying, this story is saying the point of the article is that Gen Z, is that what they call them?
Yes. This is Gen X. Gen Z, you're right, Gen Z.
And they're from what age to what age, basically?
If you're born in 1997, you would be, what, 26 years
26,
old? So. 26 years what? Old and older. To
Young is what down, we're talking about. College
they're,
age, no,
they're
late teens.
Born after
they're
that
prepping.
And younger. Yep.
They're basically – well, listen, I'm like you. In all seriousness, Ray, I think you're – like you're talking about here, in all seriousness, we do have imperishable food.
Right.
And water. Stored away in case you need it for 3 weeks or a month, you could eat.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, if that's
that's just common
but,
sense.
You know, we've all lived through power. I've lived through power outages for 10 days because of an ice storm.
Right.
Or your roads blocked. You couldn't get out. Or I don't know. There's a lot of things that can happen. A tornado. Or
you should be able to survive. Now, some people can't do that. They don't have enough income to provide for that, but
what if your grocery store closed though? That's what I thought about, Ray. Grocery stores everywhere. What if they ran out of food? The shelves are.
Right.
Remember the pandemic? Remember all the shelves being? I mean, that didn't last. People weren't starving, but you'd go in grocery stores and you'd go, wow,
all the pasta was gone, all the rice was gone, all those kinds of.
Well, what if that? What if the supply chain in our country went down? And for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, and people were used to getting food.
What if there's an attack on the power grid? And
yes.
We've talked about this many times over the years.
Right.
What if, and, you know, the EMT or whatever they call that?
Yeah.
EMP. I mean, it's going to happen at some point or another. And I want to circle back, Steve, to you in just a second here, but I agree with you guys. I think it's just a practical matter of looking to the future. Everybody ought to have some preparation for the future, some imperishable things, some people think you're joking. No, we've got a closet here in our house of the stuff,
right?
With the paper towels and toilet paper and the light bulbs
just in
and all
case.
That kind of stuff.
I still have stuff from Y2K. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
You should be.
That water's going to come in handy that I've had in that closet since 1999.
Y'all have convinced me. I'm going online. I want to become a prepper, so I'm going online buying a bunch of Izod shirts.
Well, okay, Steve, on a serious note, this article, didn't it say this has to do with the 2024 election?
Well,
part of it?
They're saying that people from both sides of the aisle, Republican, conservative, and liberal young people, are both kind of cashing in on the trend. On the left, there are people that are afraid that President Trump, if he wins the election, is going to declare himself a dictator and then come after everybody that's liberal and put them in prison or worse. On the right, just look what society's doing. It's unraveling, and people think that, you know, woke is going to get them. So
that society will collapse.
Yeah. Yes, you guys mentioned toilet paper just on the side. You know that I grew up on the mission field. We went to Africa for a bunch of years.
Mozambique, right?
Madagascar.
Madagascar.
I mean, yeah.
So not the same thing.
When we went, we sold most of our earthly possessions. We kept a piano and some stuff in storage here, and we took all of our things we wanted to take, clothes and stuff we wanted to keep. Uh-huh. We put them in oil drums. You know those big oil, like
oil drums.
And we brought about like 10 of those over. Three of them we filled with toilet paper. We brought toilet paper from the United States because we heard that you don't want to use the toilet paper over in that part of the world.
Why not?
It's not Charmin. Let's just say that.
Okay, I think we're getting. You're going to cause me to start speculating, and I'll cross some lines.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah, it's not comfortable.
It's not comfortable.
What?
The toilet paper over there.
Oh.
Well. Look, I would keep hitting on this point. It's good to be prepared, guys. Right? It's perfectly biblical for us to be prepared. To all the proverbs about in the summer. In the summer, the squirrel gets the food to make it through the winter. I think that's smart. And it will be interesting. We may have this conversation in different contexts next year as we're moving up toward, goodness, considering everything that happens around in 2020, goodness knows what's going to happen next year.
Day 10 of freeze-dried salmon, I'm going to go hunting. I'm killing squirrel or something.
Gonna kill something.
I love salmon, but that's what we got. I think we got that, and maybe some.
Now you got sons that'll help keep you in food.
Pork and beans.
You treat them right.
Pork and beans.
Right.
Rice. What else you got there, Ray? You gonna go look in the cupboard?
Remember, we used to call them Vienna sausages. I guess they're Vienna. Vienna. You ever heard of Vienna?
That's what we call them in the South.
Really?
Vienna. Is that wrong?
What's the capital of Austria?
Are you judging us, Steve?
What's the capital of Austria?
I don't think these are from Vienna.
Ed, what'd you call them in New England? Vienna sausages.
I'd never heard of them.
Sausages.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't think we had those.
You pop the can. You don't know what they're made from.
The metal can. That's right.
Does anybody ever even read the side to see what they're made out of?
It's better. Don't.
Until I married my wife, who's from Mississippi. Again, if someone doesn't know, I'm from the Boston area, New England. I had never heard of Vienna sausages. I had never heard of potted meat.
Is that funny?
Yes.
I had never heard of potted meat.
That's all I ever heard it called.
You guys have heard of potted meat, right? It's just
potted meat, like roast beef.
That's pot roast.
This is way underneath pot roast. Way underneath.
This is beneath spam, I think. It's just kind of like some kind of hash.
Yes.
You don't know what kind of animal it really came from.
It's all the stuff that they don't use from the animal byproducts.
I think isn't it a meat from the Naga?
From a what?
The Naga, the one they make couches out of, the Naga hide.
Naga hide?
Yeah.
So I say Vienna sausage, you start laughing?
No, you say
Vienna sausage.
It is what Ray said.
Vienna sausage and some saltine crackers and ROC Coca-Cola.
I've never heard of that before.
Vienna sausage. They're prepping. Back to the whole prepping idea. Yeah. And these what, 22 to 35-year-olds?
27 and younger.
They think there may be a problem
like
next
a civil
year.
War.
They are not optimistic about the future of the country past 2024.
Listen, I had a guy tell me who's a very smart man and a good friend of mine. I said, so, you know, who are you supporting in the election? And he told me, and he said, if there is an election. I thought, that's kind of weird.
I've heard that before. Lots of people saying that we won't even have the election. I don't know, the UN or something is going to, you know, prohibit our election.
Uh-huh.
That's too far along on the conspiracy gauge, the scale.
To borrow from Hall & Oates, you can't go there.
Is there really a too far along?
I can't go for that, Ed said.
Although a lot of our listeners are saying, yeah, well,
watch
stuff that you thought was a conspiracy last year
has
come to pass.
Is there really something
true.
Too far on the conspiracy land? I don't think so. By the way, experts are saying that people in San Francisco are already delving into their stash of doomsday food.
San Francisco, they delve into a lot of stashes.
That's true. It's so true.
Legal and illegal.
Yeah.
I guess everything's legal there now, though.
Stealing.
Some people think there'll be civil unrest. Well, we're already seeing civil unrest with this whole Israel-Palestinian, the war, and people expressing themselves in uncivil ways here.
Then they go back to the BLM and the whole, this has been.
The summer of love, baby.
Yeah, mostly peaceful.
Well, we'll see. But there's going to be. We do have a presidential election next fall.
Or so you think.
That's the rumor.
All right, you got about, what, I don't know, 30 seconds?
I got about a minute.
You want to talk about Bigfoot?
No, why don't we do this? So, you know that a lot of companies have stopped advertising on X, what used to be Twitter, because they are – supposed
they got mad at Elon Musk, who posted something that was anti-Semitic, or a link to something that was anti-Semitic.
Right.
He apologized for it. I don't know all the details of it.
But they pulled their advertising. A bunch of companies, including Disney, pulled their advertising.
Right.
Well, Babylon Bee got a hold of that, and this is their headline. Child grooming content on X reduced by 83% after Disney pulls their ads.
Now, that's a satirical website, by the way.
It is, and, you know, we have a good laugh. But listen to this. You know how X has these reader notes where people say this is the fact check? This is what they say, and the readers added this context. As shown in the image, this is a satirical article made by the Babylon Bee. The article is believable in a way that warrants a community note. So they're saying it's not true, but it could be.
Yes,
that's actually an indictment on Disney.
Yes,
exactly.
Right,
and the image of Disney.
There's enough truth in this satirical article that we do need to make it the point that it's a satire.
Yeah,
which is a sad testimony for Disney.
Sad, it's sad.
Sad,
absolutely sad.
Sad.
Well, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but I'm going to go build up my supplies, my ammunition. Just wait till my neighbors come calling.
I got to pick out our gun shirts.
Vienna
sausage.
What is it? What is it called?
Vienna sausage.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Or if you even go deeper in the woods, it's called Vienna.
I'm sure that's true. Totally.
Deeper in the woods.
Get you some Vienna sausage and crackers. You can survive. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.